Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gumbo Yaya, brought to you by Buku Publishing and Sable Hunter. Tonight I'm happy to welcome the authors of The Sons of Dusty Walker, Desiree Holt, Randy Alexander, and Sable Hunter. Also my co-host, Lisa Kate. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Thrilled to be here.
Nice to have you. Who's suffering from jet lag?
Me. Me. Yeah.
Randy, you want to tell everybody how you spent your weekend?
Well, last Tuesday, so it was the longest weekend ever, flew into Dallas for RT, Romantic Times Convention, and it's nonstop from 8 in the morning until midnight, and it's the wildest, craziest thing you've ever been to, but so much fun. Definitely worth the travel time and worth the registration fee. It's a hoot and a half.
Awesome. The Son of Dusty Walker. Let's go right into that. Whose idea was that?
Randy, that was yours,
Randy.
Wasn't it?
Sure.
Randy's always full of ideas, isn't she?
Yes. Yeah, I hear that a lot, that I'm full of stuff. But Jody Redford wrote the fourth book in the series, or the first book actually, but she's the fourth author and she's not here with us tonight. But she and I were talking last year with Scott Nova, who was a cover model for all four books, as well as the gigantic poster that we had at RT this weekend. And we were trying to figure out a way to do some promotion. And we thought, well, it'd be fun to maybe, you know, you do the room card keys, but they're so small. And then we thought maybe, you know, come up with a big poster, which we thought would be fun, but needed a little bit more oomph behind us. So we thought of a couple cowboy authors that we both love, Desiree and Sable, who are, you know, the top authors in cowboy romance, and
right,
brought them on board. Yep. And it's been just wonderful ever since. It's been a great experience.
Randy, you make me blush.
It's true.
When y'all were writing this, how often did you talk to one another about your storylines and your plot? This is for all three of you.
Randy set up a Facebook page for us, and she was great about posting everything there, everything we had to know, and I think we went to it like almost daily to ask questions and post ideas and see if we were in the right direction, right, ladies?
Yes, so yeah. Desiree and I could grumble. We got a nickname. What is it, Grumbly Pants or something?
I think it was Crabby Pants, if you don't mind me jumping in here.
That's me. That's me. We were Cranky Pants.
That's it.
Sounds like a good time was had.
Mm-hmm.
What has the reaction been from your readers about this series and one brother per book? Desiree?
Oh, okay. I will tell you that this is one of the strongest reactions I have ever had from my readers. They love all four books in this series, mm-hmm. and the sales just keep on coming, and I know that they're all spreading the word to each other. And I think for each of us, we have our own group of readers who have now found new authors, and so it all kind of feeds into each other. But my readers keep writing me and saying, why didn't I read these ladies before? Are you going to do more books together? So I think it's been really good.
Yeah. How about for you, Sable?
I agree. My readers have been very enthusiastic. They've been very supportive. I think some of them had already read the other three authors, and they just got another opportunity to do so. And they've been very complimentary and encouraging us to do more. And I just think it was a great idea. It has not had a downside at all. I think that the sales have been great. We've had some good rankings and some very good reviews. And I think we've pleased our readership, and each got additional fans out of it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
Yes, I agree that it definitely was wonderful, excuse me, especially face-to-face with readers at RT convention, because so many people came up and introduced themselves and said, I've been reading Desiree or I've been reading Sable, and it's so nice to meet you, and I love these series. And you know, I mentioned we have the huge poster of it's 5 feet by 11 feet at RT, and I would see people standing by it getting their picture taken, and I'd run up and say, can I join the picture? And I was never arrested because I was able to prove that I actually had written one of the books, but it was a great, great face-to-face experience. Everyone just seems to really love it.
Yeah, and that's a great-looking banner.
Yeah, and how did you end really up identified? With, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How did you end up with your cover model?
Randy,
he's,
I think that's you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a very good friend of Jody Redford, and I had met him 2 years ago in at RT and hung out with the two of them, and then also last year we hung out together, and we just do a lot of sitting and talking about, you know, how to promote each other and how to, you know, really use all of our talents and to bring together books and cover art that will really catch the attention of readers. And it worked out very well with this project.
Hmm. Sounds good. Lisa,
I think one of the great things about Scott as a cover model is that he was able to assume the personality of each of the brothers on each of the covers. So even though the models looked similar, they looked like different people.
They do. They really do. I agree with that. Yeah. Each and every one of them, they're nice. They're awesome covers. Lisa?
Yeah. I was wondering, now that you've had such great success with this, are you planning on writing any more series together?
I hope so.
I would certainly. I would certainly like to. Oh, my God. Where did that come from?
I think somebody has their volume on their computer. Yeah.
I would certainly like to. Oh, my God. Where did that come from? I have.
I'm having deja vu.
I think I pressed the wrong button here someplace.
That's okay. We'll get it.
All right, let's try that. Can I hear you?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I must have hit the wrong button here. Good Lord.
That's okay. My radio.
We're writers.
You gotta laugh.
So, where were we?
Do you plan on writing any more series together?
Yep, we were just talking about it today, as a matter of fact, about doing the next book in the series for each of the brothers.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That will be fantastic.
Yeah,
I know I've heard from a lot of reviewers, and they're all asking, are they giving us more? Are they giving us more?
Right.
So that
exactly.
would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's more story to tell about the four brothers and what happened to them having a little bit more conflict and a little bit more excitement and see them bond together and become a real family. I think that would be exciting.
And you know,
I think so, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And once you get them bonded together as a family and they're settled, other stories come from that, too, because, you know, they're going to have other relatives on their mother's side. They're going to have children of their own. There's this. You can build a dynasty out of these four brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely can. How long did it take you to write the first draft of your manuscripts? And I'll start with you, Randy.
Oh, gosh, how long? I would say probably with all the other things going on in my life, 4 weeks. So not very long. It came very easily. It was a lot of fun. I happened to base my character, Jackson Walker, after getting to know my business partner, country singer and cover model Jackson Young.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just great. He's a really fun guy. He likes to make up his own words, and he doesn't care much for computers, and he can eat more than anyone I know and still keep his handsome cover model figure. So my character is kind of based on him, so it went very quickly. And when I needed a little bump to try to figure out what the next scene was, I'd give him a call, and we'd talk for 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, goodbye. That's all I needed.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
He came in handy. Desiree?
Yes, he did.
Yes, me. It took me about 6 days to write it.
Wow.
Isn't she amazing?
I write fast. I mean, I can't even take credit for the fact that it's genetic, I guess. I do write fast. I write between 5 and 10,000 words a day, depending on the book. So,
wow.
And then I'll take a day off or half a day to rest, and then I'm back at it. The problem is my brain never stops. So if I don't sit down and I start writing, then my brain has a fit, and it gets real angry with me, and I get a headache. So I have to get those words out.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
And Sable? I know you usually have a word goal, right?
I have almost, I won't claim to be as good as Desiree yet, but I have about a book a month that I'm committed to release. And I had a plot in mind, but I didn't start Rogue until after I released One Man's Treasure on April 1st, and it was due April 20th. So I wrote Rogue in 20 days, and it was about 70,000 words, and that was with the first and second and third draft. So I do well with a deadline. You give me a deadline, I can turn them out and upside down. You tell me I take my time, I'll take a nap. So, you know, I have a goal. I don't do 10,000 words a day. I do between 3 and 5, which is, you know, trying to run Buku and do the editing and get all the juggling and everything. That's, you know, I'll pat myself on the back and say that's pretty good for me. So, but I did it in 20 days.
Yeah, I work just with a deadline, too. If I have that deadline, then I know I got to get it done, and I don't fiddle around.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, what genre would you all say that your book falls under? Is it contemporary romance, erotic romance?
I'd say erotic romance.
Yeah,
erotic.
Me too.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We say erotic, although I think we classify as contemporary because, well, there's stuff out there that makes ours look pale when you get to really the really, you know, the stuff without a plot and the stuff without a romance.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, erotic is what we shoot for. Erotic contemporary Western, I think, is the hot stuff right now for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, I
Lisa?
Agree.
For each of you, what book is currently on your nightstand right now?
What book is
on
my
Kindle
right now?
Yeah, or on your Kindle, that you're reading.
I'm reading Midnight Cowboy by Kat Johnson.
Oh, okay. And Fable?
I am reading one of Cora Seton's books, and she we're doing a project with her, and she does so well. I'm trying to read one of each one of the Cowboy 12-pack. And I'm reading one of her email, A Bride for the Seals. It's an email version.
Okay.
So it's a good book.
Cora is pretty awesome.
Good.
Randy?
I'm reading The Gangster's Woman, which is book two of Love is a Dangerous Thing by Ginger Ring. And it's set back in, like, Prohibition times in northern Wisconsin, and just fascinating. I'm loving it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, we're pretty familiar with that book.
Yeah, that's a really good book.
Oh, you've heard of that
book. That's a book.
She's quite the talent.
I'm just trying to get in good with Sable here. No.
Now, Randy has told us what inspired her character for her book. Desiree, who inspired yours?
Oh, Lord, let me stop and think. Well, he's actually a lot older than Dusty is. And he inspired the hero of my book, Downstroke, but every time I write, I kind of think of him. He's an actor named Christopher Stone. He passed away a few years ago. He was very young when he passed away. If you look him up on Wikipedia, and he doesn't even have the dark hair. I think it was just the essence of his personality, you know? He had the Dusty personality that I kept thinking of while I was writing about him.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Sable?
Well, I can't claim it was anybody real or even an actor. It's just somebody I fantasize about at night. I have this guy just pull out of the closet. No. What I do is I try to come up with a problem, and then I of course I use Scott as far as his physical features. You know, I tend to sometimes I'll buy the cover of my book before I write the book. I just finished, we'll put out in April, One Man's Treasure. I actually bought the cover before I did, and then I got so tickled. One woman, she gave me a 5-star review, but she says, "Love the book, hate the cover." That wasn't Jed at all. And I started to say, "Lady, I wrote that book about that man."
Oh my God!
But I'll tend to find the cover model, and then I'll just sort of use him as a put the picture up and describe him. So I really didn't have a specific person in mind.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that a lot, where some readers will see a teaser or they'll see a cover and say, "Oh no, that's not what he looks like."
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Sable, how much research went into your book? Because I know you wrote about a card player, correct?
I did. I researched Texas Hold'em, and then I used a lot of a note that was used as a betting tool in the gambling. So I actually went and talked to a banker for a long time, and going, okay, how does the note work? How do you get it refinanced? So I did a lot of research on that, and then of course on team roping, I used that in there. So I will spend 2 or 3 hours, sometimes a day, researching for what I'm going to write, because I have found out through experience that you cannot guess about anything, because there is some reader out there who is an expert on whatever you're writing about, and you better get your facts straight. So if I try to write about a card game, a loan, like in this one, a team roping and how that works, about how the landscape of Kansas looked, you know, anything that I write, I research it, because one time I wrote something about a poor girl that was having to take insulin, which I have low blood sugar. I mixed up hyperglycemic with hypoglycemic. Got a review and says, "You kill that woman." I said, "Oh no." So I learned I do not take chances. I do not guess. I research.
Oh, that's funny. How about you, Desiree?
I'm very lucky. I live in the Texas Hill Country, and I'm surrounded by ranches, and I've made friends with a lot of people here. I have been able to go to a lot of ranches and observe, talk to the foreman, talk to the owners. I watched them train cutting horses. I got to observe part of a roundup one time. I got to observe them when they were branding, when they chased the calves through the chutes. Nothing that I would like to repeat again, but it was okay to watch the first time. So I get a lot of information from them. I also write a lot about lawmen, sheriffs, things like that, and I made very good friends with our local sheriff and the deputies that work for him, so they always let me call and pester them. I'm like Sable. I have to do my research. I have to. I have an author that I absolutely love, and I love to read her books, but her series are all about the sheriffs of local towns, and I couldn't stand it anymore. I called my friend, and then I looked it up. And not only in Texas, but in every state except Alaska, Louisiana, where they have parishes, and Virginia, the sheriffs are responsible for the law in the counties, and the police are responsible for the law in the cities. So, you know, it's that kind of thing, if you don't know about it, that somebody's going to find out. And that's why I'm like Sable. It can ruin a book for somebody if you don't get your facts right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Randy?
Well, I was very lucky because I had Desiree and Jody, who did just a ton of research on oil and mineral rights and how that works. So I could kind of be lazy for this book. And thank you, Desiree, for doing that.
You're very welcome.
But I did a lot of research on Kansas, which is kind of flat and interesting, and a lot of research on the being a computer engineer and where you would go to school for that, because my heroine, Rory Hughes, is a computer engineer, like a total computer geek, and has her own computer company, which plays really well because my hero, Jackson, barely knows how to turn on a computer. So that was a lot of fun scenes doing that.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
And Desiree, do you have an excerpt that you would like to share with us?
Sure. I have it right here, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Killian paid the check, then stood up and waited for her to slide from the booth. When they walked to the SUV, he kept his hand on her arm. He moved it to the open door, and Lexi missed the warmth of the contact at once. He again helped her into the seat and buckled her belt for her. This time, when his face was so close to hers, she could feel his breath on her cheeks, and he leaned forward that last little bit. She held her breath, waiting to see if he'd move away again. But no, he pressed his lips gently against hers in the briefest of kisses. Still, even with that light contact, the heat it created set her blood to boiling, and the pulse in her pussy pounded with long-suppressed need. Without thinking, she opened her mouth slightly, and Killian's tongue swept in like a sword of flames. The kiss was so intense it stole her breath, but she never thought to break away. At last, he lifted his head and looked at her with ravenous hunger. She could tell he was as stunned by the reaction as she was. Oh, Lordy. He just stared for another long minute before closing her door and jogging around to the driver's side. They were both silent on the drive back to her place. When he walked her up the stairs to her door, he kept his hand on her as if needing to maintain contact. On the landing, he turned her to face him. I'm not coming in, Lexi. I'd like to think I'm too much of a gentleman to act on what I want to do with you on our first date. But trust me, there will be others. So if you want me to stay away, now would be the time to tell me. Her heart pounded so loud she was sure he could hear it. I want that. The words were a whisper. All right, then. He pulled her into his arms and cupped her head with one large hand. His scent surrounded her, as did the strength of his body. When he pressed her to him, she could feel the unmistakable bulge of his length, even through the thick denim. It pressed hard against her mound, the contact causing a flood of moisture. Could he smell the fragrance of her arousal? This kiss was deeper than the other, more intimate. He licked every inch of the inner surface of her mouth, brushing his tongue over hers in an erotic dance that made her weak with wanting. She clutched his arms, fingers tightening on ropes of hard muscle, the heat of his body scorching her hands. She had an insane desire to rip off his clothes so she could run her hands all over his naked body. Just at the point where she had forgotten to breathe, he lifted his head. The look in his eyes told her he was as affected as she was. See you tomorrow. His voice was thick with desire. Keep my cinnamon buns warm. Of course, but she wasn't thinking of pastry when she said that. See you.
Wow.
Ooh.
Very good.
Yeah.
Wow. All right now. Desiree, what else besides that steamy excerpt, what else about your book might pique the reader's interest?
I think it's because there's a lot of conflict individually and between them. Killian has his goal in life. He wants to start an Appaloosa ranch. And he has an Appaloosa because I am fascinated with Appaloosa horses. If
uh-huh.
you ever get a chance, go on YouTube and get the video for the song The Heart of the Appaloosa about how the cavalry attacked the Nez Perce Indians and killed the Appaloosas years ago. And so I've always wanted to write about them, but I thought, in Kansas, how will this work? Fortunately, I have a friend that lives in Kansas. So I called her and I said, okay, Carol, tell me there are Appaloosa horse ranches in Kansas. And she said yes, and she gave me the names of some. So I thought people would be interested that he would be able to start a ranch like this, not in Montana, where he was from, or any place else that people would normally think, but in a place they don't associate with it. And for Lexi, she's gone through her own crisis. She's a very gifted artist, and she was at the Savannah School of Design and was badly hurt by a man she thought loved her, and so she's kind of retreated from it, and Killian is coaxing her out into it again. So I think, you know, it's kind of the interaction, how they each help each other make their choices.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Randy, do you have an excerpt you'd like to share with us?
I sure do.
All right.
Jackson stood in the small coffee room in the D. Walker Mineral Company building and scanned through dozens of pages of news articles, the first half from actual newspapers, the later ones printed from online sites. all of them chronicling the rapid growth of the company under his father's leadership. He had to admit, Dad had a crapload of business sense. "Hi there," the receptionist's voice reached him from her desk. "Hi, is he here?" A deep female voice had Jackson cocking his head. "He is. Let me, wait, which one is this now?" That sultry voice again. "It's Jackson, the third son. He's 25 from Oregon." Abby, the receptionist, didn't bother to lower her voice. She must not realize he was just around the corner. Or did she know he was there and just didn't care if she appeared professional or not? "Did you hear what went on with Dylan last week? You know, Zoe Chapman, right?" Abby's voice went quieter. "I know, Zoe. What happened?" The sultry one sounded curious. Abby's voice dropped down to a mumble and the two spoke for a minute. Jackson strained to hear but couldn't catch anything. "That's quite a coincidence," the sexy voice spoke. "Yes, I thought so, too," Abby tiffed. "So, would you like me to let Jackson know you're here to see him?" "Wait, the rodeo cowboy?" Ms. Sensual voice sounded disappointed. "Yes, that's him," she giggled. "Is that a problem?" Jackson set down his coffee cup and moved a few inches to peek around the wall. His jaw dropped. Tall, maybe just a few inches shorter than his 6'2", even in her flat red high tops. That was different. Her jet black hair shone in the bright light as it swung thick and straight, cut just at her shoulders. Her jeans clung to her curvy hips, and she had a booty that made him forget to breathe. The graphic printed T-shirt strained at the press of her full breasts against the front of the material. He ducked back into the kitchen and swallowed, recognizing the heat rushing through his body as blood racing from his head to his groin. Holy hell, she was the best thing he'd seen in this town, by a long shot. "I was hoping," her sexy voice switched to a long sigh, "for one of the business-type brothers, but I was in Kansas City for 2 weeks setting up new servers for a startup company, and I really need to talk to one of Dusty's heirs." Jackson took another quick look at her. Yeah, she definitely put a rocket in his pocket. "You should talk to Jackson. He's a nice guy," the receptionist said. Ms. Sensual Voice pressed two fingers between her eyebrows. "It can probably wait until next week. Talk to that brother instead." Abby shrugged. "Why?" Jackson knew he had to make his presence known before the hottie said something that'd make her too embarrassed to go out with him. He grinned, and he would sorely like to take her out, then take her back home and spend the night with her. He stepped around the wall. "Because," he stepped out of the kitchen and strode toward her, using his sure-hit cowboy gait. She turned to look at him. Her sky blue eyes widened and her cheeks pinkened up to a sexy shade of embarrassment. "Our guest here thinks this dumb old cowboy don't have enough gray matter upstairs to understand what she needs." And what she needed was to have those red lips of hers kissed hard.
That's great.
I just love that.
It is.
I love that. I love how they meet.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. Really great.
Randy, same question for you. What else about your book might pique the reader's interest?
Oh, sure. Well, Jackson is a rodeo bronc rider, and when he was just in his teens, and he found out about his father's secret, which is that the three other families at different places around the U.S., he kind of wanted to run away from home. And so he kept running toward the rodeo and decided that that was going to be his life, that he just wanted to get away and, live his life on the road and have as much fun as he wanted, one, two nights with a girl, and then move on, because he didn't ever want to become like his dad. He didn't want to be a man who had to have women, you know, all over the place and have kids like he did, and how disappointing it was for him to find out that way. He never wanted to do that to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And my heroine, Rory Hughes, has, for a very interesting reason, has a mighty low opinion of rodeo cowboys. So besides being technically on different levels, they're also on different levels as far as where rodeo can fit into their lives.
sounds great. Sable?
Yeah.
Do you have
I have a little excerpt here. To give you a little idea, the heroine and the hero are about to go on a tour of the ranch. It's Kit's ranch, and Rogue has won the note in a card game. And so he's out on this tour with them and three women who only have eyes for him, and Kit's trying to get back at him, and she snuck a little blue pill into his coffee. So here goes. Rogue shifted, wishing he could escape. The shade was nice, but there wasn't any breeze. In fact, he was damn hot and getting hotter. Stretching his leg out, he tried to make room in his pants for his growing erection. What the hell? Admiring Kit from a distance had been his only sexy thought. In an attempt to hide the growing bulge in his jeans, he sat straighter and jerked his leg upright. Hell, he whispered. That was painful. My goodness, nothing lost on Nina. She ran a well-manicured hand down his arm. You're quite a man. I do appreciate the gesture. Sorry, I gotta walk around. I have a cramp. Shit. He stood up awkwardly, hampered by the hard-on that had risen up out of nowhere. He looked at Nina, and then he looked at Maureen. Both of their eyes were glued to his crotch. Stepping backward, he hung his boot on the handle of the picnic basket, and he would have landed flat of his ass if Kit hadn't placed a steadying hand on his back. Problems? She asked, unable to ignore what the other women were finding so fascinating. Pressing her lips together tightly, she met his eyes. His expression was one of panic, totally unlike the cocky attitude he usually displayed. No, I can walk this off. Unable to help it, Kit held herself tight around the middle, trying to keep from laughing. The three stylish sorority women were staring at Rogue like he was a jar of honey, and they were hungry baby bears. It was the funniest thing she had ever seen. He kept backing up, and they were stalking him like mindless zombies focused on their prey. If he didn't stop, Rogue, you're going to back into the splash creek. By the time Rogue pulled his wet ass out of the water, he was royally pissed. The triple threat to his virtue were all trying to give him more assistance than he needed, and all the time his errant pecker had a seeming will of its own. Each woman thought his burgeoning, throbbing package straining at the zipper was meant for her. Wrong. Excuse me, please. He stalked up the bank, dripping water. I guess you need to cool off, Charlotte said, fanning herself with delight. Kit handed him the blanket. Here, use this as a towel. Thanks, he growled. As he strode to the truck, his trio of admirers followed him. Kit tried to see if their tongues were actually hanging out, but she couldn't tell from this distance. Kit! Pulling herself together, she walked over to where Rogue was sitting on the tailgate. You bellowed? I'm riding back here. Do you think you could take me to the lodge to change clothes? He emptied water out of first one boot and then the other. Sure, she hit a smirk and asked the lady slowed up. We need to get Mr. Walker some dry clothes. Something wasn't right. He had seen how women acted when they were pulling a fast one, and Kit was showing all the signs. A half grin, too cooperative, a sexy twinkle in those amazing blue eyes. Thanks, he murmured, whipping off his hat when he felt something brushing the hair on his head. What the hell? He picked a little sun perch up off the truck bed and carried it back to the water, his mouth gapping open and closed. Loud laughter coming from the interior of the pickup caused him to look at Kit Ross. She was having entirely too much fun. Doesn't look like your dip did you any good, she cast an eye down at his manhood. If your problem persists for more than 4 hours, you might need to consult your doctor. At that moment, he realized what she had done. Why, you little... He narrowed his eyes and glared at her. What'd you give me, a damn Viagra pill? Shh, she held up her finger to her lips. Your fan club's going to offer assistance in dealing with your condition if you don't keep your voice down. And Rogue stomped to the back, and he discovered Miss Smarty Pants had been right. Maureen met him. Here's my room key, big boy. She winked at him, glancing at his ample assets, slipping the piece of hard plastic into his front jeans. Come up to see me later, and I'll make it worth your while. Flabbergasted, he tried to give it back, but she pretended not to notice. Closing his eyes, Rogue settled back down on the tailgate, willing his dick to go down. Okay, I'll stop there.
Wow.
That's great. Oh. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Sable, what else about your book, besides all that, might pique the reader's interest?
Well, I do try to put a little humor in it, and always enough hot sex to keep people fanning. But in this particular one, I've tried to ravel in a mystery. There's something about Rogue's name. He doesn't understand why his dad named him something like the equivalent of Sue. And there's a mystery with his name, with a horse named Rogue Angel, and with a mine that Dusty had acquired fairly early in his life called Rogue. And by the time you get down to that, there's also somebody trying to kill Kit, and the mystery's solved eventually, and so there's some suspense there. And that's what I try to give the authors, I try to give the readers a little bit of something to keep them excited besides just sex. But, I mean, you know, that has to come too.
And these are really great character names. Where did you get these names, Jackson? Well, I know where Jackson came from, but Killian and Rogue. Desiree?
Killian is Irish, and I kind of have a thing for Irish names. And I was reading a book, and one of the characters was named Killian, and I thought, okay, one of these days I'm going to use it. And I did.
Yeah.
I really liked the sound of the name.
Great name. And Randy, obviously, after Jackson, right?
Jackson. Okay. Yeah, Jackson Young. I should put in a plug for him here, jacksonyoungcountry.com. Go and check him out. I'm in one of his music videos, Drunken Angel. Go to his website and check it out.
Oh, cool. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, check
that
fun. And Sable, where did Rogue come from?
I had a contest in my street team one day, and I was coming up with names. I named off three or four names to see what they would like. One of them I had was Rogue, and the other one was Titan. And I think there was two more. And they liked Rogue, and they liked Titan. And I'm using Rogue. Of course, I used it in this one. And Titan, I'm using it in the 12 Alarm Cowboy book by the name of Texas Wildfire. But I use that a lot in my street team. I'll go out there, and when I go blank, I'll go, hey, what's your favorite cowboy name? And they give me like 75 names. And that's fun because I collect them like Randy does, and I put them back in a little database, and I go and pull them out. And this one, once I picked the name, I thought, well, I've got to do something with it. And that's when I started trying to say, okay, what does the name mean? What would it affect somebody if they had to, you know, if that was their name? What could I use it for in the plot? And I think I turned out something that was made it more meaningful than just a handle.
Right. Yeah. Right. Desiree, how do you define romantic love?
Well, for me, of course, it has to have a happy ending. And it's also the fact that how their relationship develops. I mean, everybody's got their quirks, but they have to learn how to care for each other. And it's a lot more than just the sex. It's doing the nice things for each other, making something special, making a day special, doing something to make the other person laugh, helping them when they're down. I mean, it's just, it's that connection. And when you have that connection, I think, to me, it's romantic. It's a lot more than the fire in the fireplace with the big bear rug in front of it or the candles around the big bathtub. But it's everything together.
Right, right. I agree. Yeah. Randy?
Yeah, ditto. I would say exactly the same thing. And to me, it's being good to each other. It's finding someone who you want to do things for, you want to do little things for, and, you know, like when he's sick, you put an old blanket in the dryer so it's hot and cover him with it, excuse me, and just do little things like that for them. You know, you want to be together, you want to spend time together, so the romance comes from long-term and not as much just the short-term things that you do, but you know, being able to see yourself 20, 30, 40 years down the road with that person.
Sure, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Sable?
Yeah. I agree with what they've said. Plus, I'd add that I always try to work in sacrifice and a grand gesture. You know, I that's what I would want for somebody to that would be willing to and me also. I want to be willing to give whatever it takes. If they're in trouble, you know, I'll step in front of the bullet. If there's something that I can give that even though it's going to hurt me, that'll save them, I'm willing to do that. So I like to put that into my characters, and I like to, sometimes like to do things in a big way. You know, I want there to be some, you know, the banner that flies across the sky on the back of the airplane, or the something that's carved on the side of the mountain. You know, I want the grand gesture thing, and I think that's a lot of times that's a something that will stick with the person for the rest of their life if somebody is willing to put themselves out there to show everybody exactly who they love.
Awesome. Lisa?
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Let's see, for Randy, besides your own, who has written your favorite book hero?
Oh, gosh.
Wow, that's a tough question.
My favorite book hero, I'd have to go back a ways. I used to read a lot of Regency romances, and I got a hold of some of my older sister's books from Kathleen Woodwith, and that's probably a name that some of you may remember, and I actually had a chance to meet her at one time. before she passed away. It was great. And so I'm trying to think of the book name or the character name, but I still picture him and her, and I, you know, so although they're my favorites, the words don't come, but, you know, very visually, some of my favorite books were always written by her.
Definitely. Great. Definitely. Yeah. Sable, same question.
Yes, it would be Nathan Malone, written by Laura Lay, and it was the book Wild Card. That book has stuck with me for years, and that's one of the books, few books that I have gone back and read and reread and reread. The scenes in that book, what he went through and what he sacrificed for her and what she was willing to sacrifice for him has inspired the way I try to write, you know, that type of emotion. Mm-hmm. And so I would say it was Nathan Malone.
I agree with you,
Sable. That's a good character.
I read
that
whole series, and I still love that book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's one that you can read numerous times, the whole series.
Desiree, how about you?
Okay, well, mine is actually the hero of a series, and he has nothing to do with cowboys or westerns. His name is Lucas Davenport, and he plays a cop, a very rich cop, as a matter of fact. And he's in a series by an author named John Sanford. They're called the Prey series.
Oh, yeah.
I love Lucas Davenport. He's 6'4", lean and muscular, dark black hair, electric blue eyes, and a scar on his face.
I haven't heard that one. I picked that one up.
Randy,
what does it take to win a cowboy's heart?
Oh, gosh. Well, a lady has to love horses and has to like being outdoors in the under the big blue sky, and likes to be adventurous inside the house and outside the house, and likes to take care of the dog too, and doesn't mind riding in a pickup truck. Let's see, to win a cowboy's heart, she has to have the sense of humor of a comedian and the looks of a model, well, maybe not so much the looks of a model, but feels like inside herself she has the confidence that she looks like a model, even if she maybe doesn't quite so much. And she has the attitude of we can do anything, we can do anything together, we're a team, and we're 100% go-get 'em. And she has to be the type of person who will love to have just the two of them out on a small ranch somewhere in the middle of nowhere and be happy with what they have.
Great. Sable?
Great, yeah.
Did you say Sable?
Yes.
That's me. Okay. Well, she has to love him for who he is, and she has to value him above money and see beyond his faults to what is wonderful about him. I try to write flawed people. My women are usually flawed more than my men, but, you know, that's just because I have these fantasies in my head. But to be able to see the real person beyond the looks that will fade and beyond the money they may or may not have is important.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything different to say than these two ladies do, because they've really nailed it as far as a cowboy's woman is concerned, what a woman needs to love and be with a cowboy. It's all of those things, you know.
Desiree, can you tell our audience what you're working on right now?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm writing three books. I'm writing...
Only three?
Yes. Well, I thought that one was due in July and one was due in September, and they're both due next month. So I'm writing the third in my football series. The first book will be out July 7th. I'm writing the next Naked Cowboy, and I'm writing the next in my Rawhide series. And then after I finish those, I have two novellas that are due by the 1st of August. So I won't be going anywhere for a while.
Wow. And my
football series, if I could just say this, it's not about cowboys, but it is about Texas, which, as you know, football is the biggest religion in Texas. and it's about life after football for a state championship high school team, and I'm loving it, and this is probably the biggest project I've tackled, so I'm really excited about it. So tell everybody about it.
I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Sounds great.
Desiree, can you tell the listeners where they can find you online?
Yes, they can find me at www.desireeholt.com. They can find me on Twitter at Desiree Holt. They can find me on Facebook, Desiree Holt Author. And they can find my blog, desiremeonly.com. And they can check out my Pinterest page, Desiree O2 Holt. I have, I think at last count, 37 Pinterest boards.
Wow.
Okay, and Randy, what are you working on?
I'm working on something very interesting. It's a little bit different than what I usually write. I'm writing the second book in the Diaries of a Casanova series, and I'll take just a couple minutes to do this, but I used to work in the concert industry, and I did backstage event things at the night of show, and I meet a lot of famous musicians, and I was talking backstage to a country singer, and you would know his name, actually. Of course, I signed an NDA, so I can't reveal any of this, but he was talking about his life, and he said, you know, what, isn't that interesting? I said, it was very interesting, because I write romance novels, and he said, we should write a romance novel about this, and I thought, wow, this would be amazing. I mean, he's got just an amazing story. And 3 days later, he actually called me, which was like, So he took the pen name of Leo J. Canyon, and we've been writing the Diaries of a Casanova series. And the first book, Legend Awakening, has been released, and it's the beginning of this part of his life that began right after he turned 18, and it kind of goes through that part of his life. That's the first book, and it's just fascinating the things that happened to him, and he's part Native American, and so he's got this spirituality that's kind of almost like mysticism in the book that's really fascinating. Uh-huh. And so the second book then is his life a little bit later when he's trying to break into the music industry. And then the third book, which will be coming out later in the year, is when he's actually a big star in the industry and how all these things in his life have affected him. So I'm having just a wonderful time talking to this guy on the phone and writing his story. And I happen to know Jackson Young right around the same time. And so we talked to Jackson and chose him to be kind of the face of this book series. And so his face is on the cover of all three books, and he's also traveling around to all these romance conventions with me and meeting people and kind of acting as the person, the live person who is represented in this fictionalized story of this country western singer's life.
Very cool.
Wow. So that was a long answer.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Sable,
can you
share a little bit on what you're
on You Are Always on My Mind. It's Hell Yeah number 17, I think, but it's one that the fans have been waiting on. It's part BDSM, part a story of about a woman who was abused by her father, and then it's part ghost story. So it's set in Louisiana. It's not a cowboy book. It's a Cajun book, but I go back and resurrect three or four of the couples from their past and bring their stories in, and we also help hunt Noel McCoy's mother. So it will make everybody, there's something there for all the fans that are Hell Yeah fans. Plus, I'm going to be trying to explain why a masochist chooses that lifestyle as a woman. And I have done a hell of a lot of research on that, trying to make sure I didn't say anything that would offend anybody in the lifestyle, and that what I said, you know, has some basis in fact. So I think it's going to be a book that's rich in more than just sex. It's going to have a lot of emotion in it. It's going to have a lot of Louisiana flavor in it. And one of the ghost stories that I tell is true. My mother used to tell it. It was about my grandmother actually used to tell it about her. her grandfather had a brother who was born premature, and they put him in a box under the bed thinking he was dead and left him there for two or three days because the weather wasn't permitted so they could go out and bury him, and he came back. I'm using a little pen on that, but I enjoy doing things. I enjoy bringing things out of the old family history and dusting them off and seeing how they fly. So this is going to be a long book, and it's going to have a lot of things in it, and I'm excited about it.
Awesome.
Well,
and I just want to clarify that the Sons of Dusty Walker on Amazon, that they are available at Kindle Unlimited. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's very good. And really quick, I want to mention that you do have a pre-order available that Randy and Sable are a part of, and that is 12 Alarm Cowboys, and that includes Cora Seaton, Becky McGraw, Sable Hunter, L. James, Cynthia DeAlba, Delilah Devlin, Donna Michaels, Randy Alexander, Beth Williamson, Paige Tyler, Sabrina York, and Lexi Post. That is available on Amazon for pre-order, and it's only 99 cents, so you can't beat that.
No, you can't.
Right. Yeehaw.
Mm-hmm. Randy, do you want to give your online links?
Sure. If you want to head to my website, randyalexander.com, and look at the bottom of that page for all my links to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Goodreads and all the rest. And while you're there, I'd love it if you'd subscribe to my newsletter to get all of my really exciting news and contest news and new releases sent to you. And I will also be in Las Vegas in June at the Jimmy Thomas Romance Novel Convention. So I hope if anyone's in the area or wants to fly to Vegas for a few days, come and see me there.
Awesome. And Sable, before you share your links, I do have a question from a listener. She would like to know when she can expect the next audio for one of your sweeter Hell Yes. Hell Yes.
Well, that is a good incentive. I have had so many things going on that I really just haven't got in touch with Reed Kerr to get the next one going, but I will. There's no reason I haven't. Everybody else, I've been taking care of all the Buku audiobooks and Pearl Sable's audio and paperbacks just fly out the window. I'd make sure the e-books get up, but I need to do that. So tell her I'll get on that and try to get it done.
All right. Sure, she's happy to hear that. Can you give us your media links, please?
I'll just say sablehunter.com. Everything is there listed. All of the Facebook and all of the other social media links are there. And there's also, like Randy said, a newsletter sign-up line. So if you'll come to sablehunter.com, you can find everything else.
All right. Sounds good. I'd like to thank all three of you ladies for coming on and chatting with Lisa and myself tonight, sharing an excerpt from the Sons of Dusty Walker. And we hope you have a great week. And good night.
Thank
good
you.
Night. Thank
Thank
you for
you.
Inviting me.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Lisa, that was pretty awesome. Okay, let me just go ahead and tell about Buku's new releases for this week. First of all, Buku can be found at BeaucouPublishing.com. If you would like to send in a submission to Buku, it's b.coup@yahoo.com. Attention, Sable Hunter. Most of our Buku books are available on Kindle Unlimited at Amazon. Our new releases are Bullies, No Worries by Rebecca Lindsay. This is a children's book. We also have Fanglore by Lynn Croft. And we have, Lisa, you may need to help me with this. Do you have your list? Okay.
We have Jamie Lindsay book.
We have CJ Anaya has Double Booked. Gracie Wilson has What If. We have Jamie Lynn Booth, Make Me Yours.
Right.
Jamie Brumfeld, Jeannie's Treasure. Catherine Rhodes, Acts of Contrition. Red Roses, Black Orchids by Ginger Ring. Erin Black's Grace's Arbor, and Natalie Alder's Constructing Love. And I hope I didn't forget any. So everybody go to Amazon, check those out. Like I said, they are available at Kindle Unlimited, or you can purchase them. Lisa, what are you reading this week?
What am I reading this week? Actually reading Sons of Dusty Walker. I'm on, let's see, I read Sable's.
Yes, and I'm actually going backwards. I'm reading Dylan now, so by Jody Redford. So I'm going to start at the beginning and go the other way. So they all sound so great.
They do. They really do. And I have Dylan on my Kindle. I have Dylan on my Kindle, but I haven't started reading it yet. I'm still on the Black Dagger Brotherhood. I'm reading Lover Reborn, which is book 10. I think there might be 14 or 15 books. I'm not sure, but I'm working my way through them. And really enjoying them, of course. But then I have Dylan on my Kindle, and I have one of Gracie Wilson's in line, and then two of Catherine Rose, because, you know, I have to read everything Catherine writes. Working my way through everything. So it was a great show tonight. Lisa, I'm glad you were here to co-host with me, and I hope you have a great week.
You
and
too.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.